Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I'm joined by two fabulous people, Coach Lee Marie Hostetter. How are you doing?
Hey, everyone. Good to be back.
And we have a very special guest, Sharla Peterson. Welcome to the show, Sharla.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited to be here today.
Yeah, so those of you that are watching on YouTube, she's recording from her car studio. And we're so glad that you're here today. And we wanted to talk about, so I had alluded to the fact that we were going to be interviewing you last week on the podcast, just kind of recapping about the Arnold and all the excitement from the previous weekend. But first, why don't you tell our listeners like where you live, a little bit about yourself and your background and your family?
Okay, I live in Mesa, Arizona, and I have five kids. Three of them are grown and out of the house, and I have two at home. And my youngest is almost 12. Let's see, we've almost been married for 30 years. We're having our anniversary this year,
Wow.
and I've just had a passion for fitness my whole life. I became an aerobics instructor at the age of 16. I competed in the Reebok National Aerobic Championships at 19, and I've always been interested in getting back on stage from there, and that's why I pursued NPC Bikini a couple years ago. So it's something that I just have really enjoyed looking forward to and training for.
Yeah. So your husband Brian, I got the opportunity to meet him. He's so sweet and kind. And you work for him as well. Is that
Yeah.
part of the, okay.
Yeah, so I do all the bills for his office. Yeah, he's a dentist.
Awesome. Okay. So I didn't know that about the Reebok thing. Can you tell us about your so tell us about your couple of shows that you did in you started in 2022, correct?
Yeah, in 2022, I had a good friend that was competing, and when I found out she was competing, I thought that's something I've always wanted to do. So I watched her prep for that and compete. She was an all natural OCB, and she went and won the show, won the overall, got her pro card, and I was so
Wow.
impressed. And she's like, "You can totally do it." So I took that just what she said, and I said, "Okay, I can do it." And so I decided to jump in 2022, hired a coach and got going, and I did five shows that year, and it was really fun.
Yeah, and you did very well at the national level too, right? You had like a second place at Masters USA's, is that right? Or first
Yes.
place?
Second place at
Okay.
Masters.
USA's. That's awesome. And you had a couple first place in so tell the audience too how old you are as well, because it be
I'm
mind-blowing.
52.
Yeah, you don't look
And
like it. You're like a Barbie. If you're watching on YouTube, you know how youthful Charlotte looks.
I was 51, my first competition, and I had done a Tucson show, a Scottsdale show, and then I did the Whitney Jones show, which was in October of 2022, and I got first place in that one. And there was nine of us that were 50 and older. And coming into the show, we knew they had a 45 plus. They didn't have a 50 plus, but because there were so many of us signed up, they created one. So this was the very first year Whitney Jones had a 50 plus group.
Oh,
And
wow.
so it was really exciting to be the first winner of their very first 50 group. And so then I after that I went to the Wings of Strength. I think it was 1 week later, maybe it was 2 weeks later. And I got second on that one. So
That's amazing.
yes.
So you just recently competed in the Arnold Amateur last week, and tell the audience how you did and what that whole experience was like.
Okay. Well, it was very exciting because I've never been to the Arnold, and I wanted to look my best and do my best, and I was hoping that someone else would show up in the wheelchair division, and I was so glad that Marie came from Canada, and it was just fun to be on stage again and to look into the judges' eyes again and to just feel like I'm back. Here I am, even though I'm in a chair. So it was really awesome to meet all the pros that came at the meet and greet, and it was just such a bigger event than I ever imagined. And so it was really fun to be there and to be there with the expo And then I had people wanting to interview me between prejudging and finals. I had a reporter come up and want to interview me. And then after at the expo, we had another news reporter come and do that. So that was really exciting. It was more than I ever expected.
So Charlotte made history as the first female ever bodybuilding women's champion in wheelchair division at the Arnold, right? So you actually got to interview with the previous champion, King Kong Kelly Harold. So it was pretty, I felt like I was just walking around with a celebrity the entire time because everybody, you were inspiring everybody. Everybody wanted to take their picture with you. And yeah, it was pretty incredible to watch you up on stage. You looked flawless and you looked amazing. And then you befriended Grigsby, right? He had won, it was his pro debut, and he had won fifth place, I think, in the pro division. Yeah. So tell us how you got connected with him.
My posing coach is Wendy, and it's called the gym, TG, the gym. And I would go over there and practice posing with her. And so I'd work out over there a couple of times. And she told me from the very beginning, there's another guy here in a wheelchair, and he's so excited to meet you. And I've been asking him questions on like how this is going to run, and do we do quarter turns, and like trying to figure out like what are we expecting. And a couple months go by, and I'm thinking, when am I ever going to meet him? I like every time I come, he's not here. And she said, well, he works out at night. And then I think it was the week before we left to come to the Arnold. I was there later than I normally am on a Saturday, and I stayed to work out. And then he showed up, and I'd actually made contact with him on Instagram a week before, just because I had shown her pictures and I said, well, which one is he? And she told me which one. So I connected with him on Instagram, and he knew right away who I was. And so when we saw each other at the gym, it's just really cool. Like, hey, that's you. And we were so excited to see each other. And because we were competing, to go to the Arnold together. And he had won Wheelchair Nationals last year, and so this was his pro debut, and which is really exciting. And he just, because he's been in a wheelchair longer than I have, I was asking him all kinds of questions, like, well, how are you getting from the airport to the hotel? And how do you do this? And how do you do that? And so he just kind of took me under his wing, and he said, well, I'm getting a car. Let's meet up and let's, go together. And we ended up landing at the same time, same airport. And he was just really great. And his family came in town, got to meet his parents and his family. And I was just really proud of him for getting fifth. He was hoping to get sixth place, and he ended up getting fifth, and so he was way more excited than he expected. So it was good. He's making really great progress, and he's just a great, great guy.
Yeah, he gave you some good tips with just storing the chair like on the plane and just things that you, because you had never flown before, right?
This is my first time flying in a with a wheelchair. Yeah. So.
So, okay. So, Lee Marie, do you have questions that you wanted to ask?
Yeah. So you mentioned like it feeling so good to be back on stage again in front of the judges and stuff. What did it feel pretty much the same? I mean, obviously you're in a wheelchair, but like I just know it's drilled into you. As soon as you're even standing, waiting on the wings of the stage, you are like, you have the judges are on you. Like you have to look, like pull it in, keep it tight. All is it exactly the same? And then how was it running through things like quarter turns and stuff like that in a wheelchair? And what was like different about that experience? Was it pretty much the same?
Well, I had a little more confidence just because there was two of us, and I feel like there wasn't as much pressure. And also, I think when you present yourself on stage sitting rather than standing, I think there's a little bit more confidence, where you're not wobbling your legs, you're not like trying to walk really smooth. It's just like you just roll out. And so, and I knew Becky Clausen. I had stood before her at Masters Nationals, and I think also at Wings of Strength. So I knew who she was. That kind of gave me the confidence. I'm coming back in front of her, and so coming out, I felt really confident, and just being able to look out and know that she was there, and that I'd been here before. And that was something that came with time. I'd been on stage 5 times, and it took me a little, I was more nervous my very first time ever And then I got more confident, and I actually, at Masters Nationals, had stood by another competitor who was super calm. She was just so calm. And I was so grateful that I was on stage with her because I learned to be calm. And so coming up on stage again, it was, I felt confident. I felt calm. I felt like I was going to just try to do my very best. And I can't remember your other questions.
I
Well,
think she
that's
was asking what the differences were. So I know for sure there were a lot of changes to just like you learning, because she had mentioned like quarter turns. So those mandatories and things like that. Bodybuilding is way different than bikini. So yeah, tell us about those differences.
So that was one thing, because backstage they were telling me that I was going to do mandatories, and then they were going to do quarter turns individually, and then they were going to bring out the other competitor, and then we were going to do it together. So so I did my individual routine, which you do like 30 seconds. You just kind of show them what you have, your best poses. And then I was waiting for them to start calling out quarter turns. And I don't know if they knew if I was going to do it or not. There was a little bit of like, this is kind of a new sport, women's wheelchair. And so they ended up not doing it. And I was expecting quarter turns, and she didn't say quarter turn to the right for us. And I don't know why. Maybe that's just something they do for the men. But she just said, she just called out, front lat pose, turn to the back. She said turn to the back, but she didn't say quarter turn, turn to the right, turn to the right. So we were prepared for everything. We were prepared to do quarter turns, but we ended up not doing them. I'm not sure, if in the future we'll be doing that, but we just followed everything she said, and just tried to hit my pose the best I could.
So cool.
Yeah, and so yeah, those mandatories are so much different than bikini, and just kind of hitting a lat spread in general, I think takes so much time. So kudos to your posing coach for developing your poses. I thought they were, you just nailed every single one of them, and I know the judges were super impressed with the way that you presented your lats and just your conditioning overall. So did you want to talk with the audience about just like some of your feedback that you received from the couple of judges that we were able to speak to?
Let's see. You might want to help me remember, because I don't know if I
Sure.
remember everything, but I know I think both of them said that my conditioning was good, that
Yeah, they were
they were
very impressed.
impressed with my conditioning. I don't remember much else as far as they just said, you're doing good, keep it up, Maybe you can help me out with that.
Yeah, the Hornback, the state chairman of Kentucky, and or I guess he's not the state chairman of Indiana, but he's the head judge there. He was just asking questions, really, like, how did you get your conditioning? He's like, that's one of the biggest struggles with wheelchair is just having that on point conditioning. And he said she was so sharp. And he was like asking kind of what it took to get that way. And I was like, definitely diet. But he also was asking like specifically what kind of cardio you were able to do. So can you speak about your cardio a little bit? Because I think that gave you a big advantage when we figured out you were getting way too much work with your upper body, just with your everyday movements. And then also with like the lifting, you were getting very inflamed. So once we started incorporating lower body cardio only, I think that really helped you. But maybe you can speak some more on that.
So we were, thinking the standing arm bike would be a really great thing. My physical therapist set me up, and he's like, "Hey, come in here anytime you want. You can work on the arm bike." And he would have me stay after PT or come earlier whenever I wanted to. I could work on the arm bike, but I started having a lot of upper body pain, shoulder pain, and the nerves at night were acting up, and I couldn't sleep because they would go numb. And so I was like, I don't know what we're going to do, but I can't use my arms for cardio. And so my injury is pretty low. It's L1. And so I've had my leg movement. I can't use my ankles at all, but I have some leg movement still in my quads. And so I can do a bike. I can do a recumbent bike, and I can also get on a stationary bike. And I have to finagle my feet, and my feet have to be strapped in. So if I can get on a bike and strap in, I can ride a bike. It's not the most comfortable thing for my seat, just because I'm still numb, but I can make it, I can manage and figure out how to do that. And so riding a stationary bike or a recumbent bike was an option. In the beginning, it was hard to get my heart rate up because my legs are not very strong, but as I kept going, I was able to strengthen them a little bit more for the biking. And then swimming, I was able to get in the pool and swim. I could use my arms in a way that it wasn't stressing out my nerves or my muscles, and I was able to use my legs. So I was able to get a really good workout with swimming.
That's awesome. So when you decided, back in November, kind of what was that inspiring thing that kind of like triggered like you were gonna do this?
Yeah, it was actually back in October.
Or
So,
October, yes, sorry.
yeah, so my injury was in July and I had high hopes. We're going to make recovery, things are going to go well. And it was a tough 3 months getting through the thing. I just couldn't get myself out of bed. There's a lot of things I couldn't do by myself, and as things were getting easier. But I remember thinking, I've only gone 3 months and I've got at least 9 more months of recovery. How am I going to make it through? I was just kind of like a wake up, like, oh, I have to live like this for for who knows how long. And it was kind of a little bit of a downer where I thought, can I just go to sleep and then wake up 9 months later and all of my nerves are back and I can start walking again? And the Whitney Jones show was coming up the 1st of October, so I went to see that. And I had just talked to my PT and I said, I told him I was going and I said, I wonder if there's bodybuilding for wheelchair. And he's like, oh yeah, I've seen it. I'm like, have you really? And he said, yeah. And so I went to the show, watched the show, got inspired. And I thought, I'm going to go home and I'm looking at wheelchair bodybuilding. And so I did. And I found this website, wheelchairbodybuilding.com. And I got so excited. It was like, it just turned my whole like outlook on life. It just turned it around. Like all of a sudden I had this hope and I had this vision and I had this passion, desire to hit a goal. And it just, everything changed. I had a 180 after like a week of thinking, how am I going to get through? And then all of a sudden it's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm in a wheelchair. I am going to get back into training. I'm going to get back on stage and do what I really love doing. And so, from that moment on, people would ask me, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm doing awesome. And they look at me and they're like, really? How? No, really. How are you doing? I said, I am doing awesome. Like, I'm so excited. Do you guys understand? Wheelchair bodybuilding is a thing. So it just turned my whole life upside down. And so I felt like if I can keep competing and keep, having a goal, then that was what I really wanted. And that really made me feel complete and satisfied with life.
Love it. Yeah, I've actually heard about how the men's bodybuilding has been like very, very popular, due to the fact that a lot of them, like if they're injured, like in the war or something, like they're very, they have like a drive and a motivation. And women's bodybuilding has been, under attended just because of that tendency to kind of like go into like a depressed mode almost. Have you heard about that? Like where, I mean, there just hasn't been as much like popularity with the female side of things. And I don't know if you have heard about that or if you had any thoughts on that.
For a wheelchair or for bodybuilding in
Yeah, for a
general?
wheelchair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I'm not really sure why there's not as many women. I know it's really big for the men.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot out there for wheelchair. There's Paralympics. You can do basketball. You can do rugby. You can do tennis. There's a million things you can do. CrossFit in wheelchair. I mean, and there's so many amazing things you can do in a wheelchair, and it might be that they just, find other things, and maybe they just don't know about bodybuilding, or maybe some of them, I don't know, or maybe we just haven't gotten out enough to, presented enough of the women bodybuilding to get more people involved. But I
Yeah.
know there's a few around the world. that they may not be able to come to the United States, but they're out there and they're lifting weights and they're looking at other competitions that are in other countries, because they do have competitions in other countries. And so United States, we need to get more people in the US
Yes.
coming. So
Yeah,
I'm not
that's
quite
what I'm
sure how to
getting
get that
at.
done.
I want to use this platform to really promote women's wheelchair bodybuilding. I think that there should be more women. And I did not realize until after, thinking about how long the Arnold's been around and the fact that your division just started last week at the Arnold, which is the biggest sports festival in the entire world. Like, there were times when there were 22,000 athletes before COVID at the Arnold, and to me, like, if we can get more people involved that can compete with you, and it blows my mind when I heard Nick talking about, and you can speak about this a little bit better than I can, but Jen, how she's the only pro women's bodybuilder and she needs competition, she needs somebody to go up against. And so we can talk about that a little bit if you're comfortable with it, because I just really want to promote this sport. I want you to have, competition too, so that we can really grow this thing. And maybe somebody hearing this today would really resonate and be like, oh my gosh, like, this is an opportunity for me. So can you tell us a little bit about that too, about the pro, the only pro, and kind of her path and how she really hasn't had anybody to compete against?
So Jen, I believe it's Jen Paskey-Paquin. I'm not sure
Okay.
how you say your last name, but you look her up on YouTube and she's her video is on there. She is amazing. She has fantastic muscle and she is striated. She definitely is like women's bodybuilding. She looks like a pro. She is a pro, and hats off to her for inspiring all of us that are seeking after women's wheelchair bodybuilding. And as far as I know, because there's no one to compete against, she does guest posing where Nick will ask her to guest pose at certain. She goes to Olympia with the men. I know she's been to Arnold before. She's going to, I believe, the UK to be a guest poser there and to try to inspire more women into coming into bodybuilding. And I believe. I hope my story's straight, but I'm pretty sure this is correct, that she's never had anybody compete against. She just kept showing up and doing her posing. And so at some point they decided she has earned a pro card because she looks like a pro. And so they did honor her and awarded her a pro card, even though she didn't have anybody to compete against. So I kind of feel like if I keep showing up, I keep improving every year, I keep doing what I love, that eventually I might get a pro card. And then if I do, is it just me and her up there? It's just really slim as far as what we have right now. And it'd be awesome if we could get more women into the sport, because we need to have at least three. Ideally, to get a pro card, you've got to have five to compete against. But I think they might consider having three of us, but if that's not the case, then it might just be a couple of years of just showing up and getting better and better and, looking like a pro, and eventually maybe you'll get one.
Yeah, and Wheelchair Nationals, for those of you that don't know, is June 1st. And so Charlotte's getting ready for that. And we know that you have at least one competitor that you're going up against. And we're hoping maybe more, just so that there could possibly be a pro card in contention there. And can you tell the listeners where that's located? And we're kind of working through those details right now, getting you set up for that in 12 weeks.
Yeah, it's in Boise, Idaho, at the Idaho Muscle. And they've already sent me an email. They told me how excited they are to have wheelchair there this year. And they're going to send me in the mail a little wristband that says Wheelchair Nationals on it, so I can wear it, so I can stay focused and get excited about the show. So I'm excited that they are so organized and prepared to have us there. It'll be
Yeah,
fun.
and it's a free entry for all those wheelchair athletes out there, just so you know. And you get a free spray tan too. So, other than, the hotel and the flight, I mean, they have all the accommodations for the hotel rooms for the wheelchair contestants. And they've got really Nick, the head of the wheelchair division. Is that the correct way
Yeah.
to say that for the MPC and
Founder
the
and
AFPD?
CEO, yeah.
Founder and CEO of the wheelchair division. Yes, he was showing us the big medals that they're giving out, and it seems like a very organized event, like you mentioned. So those ladies out there that are down for a challenge, 3 months from now, it'd be
Yep,
a
you
good
got
thing to
time.
do. That's enough time to prep. So tell us about the beginning of prep, some of your restrictions were and how you worked through that, and just some of the things that you learned along the way, like throughout this prep, about yourself or anything you want to add to that.
Well, one thing I learned about myself is I would say something that I couldn't do. I'd say, well, I can't do that. And then as soon as it would come out of my mouth, I would think, but wait, I haven't tried that. And so I've been able to do a lot of things I didn't think I could do. And coming into this prep, my biggest challenge was, how am I going to get to the gym? And I was dependent on everybody for rides. I went to PT every single day. And I kind of felt bad asking people to take me to the gym. I'm like, that's, I shouldn't feel bad, but I just didn't want to be like dependent on everybody. But I thought, okay, well, if I am in the car coming home from PT, I'm already in the car. I could just ask them to drop me off at the gym. Then all I need to do is get one person to bring me home. And so that was kind of the beginning of it. And so I would either go to the gym before my PT or after PT. And usually if my husband would work out, that he could drop me off on the way to work, I'd work out and then I would get a ride to PT and back. And so it's kind of working out that way. And just, I just start asking friends, can you drive me here? Can you drive me there? And of course they were so willing to do it. And so that's how I got started. And then eventually January, starting in January, I was able to load my wheelchair. That was the hardest thing, is trying to figure out how to get my wheelchair in the car. And I just, the bending and the stooping and pulling it all apart, it was just really hard for me. But working with my PT, I was able to figure out how to get it into the car. And so, and I had these AFOs on my feet. I was able to keep my ankle stable so I can push the pedals. So, I'm able to drive. And so that was huge independence. And so starting January, I was able to go to the gym by myself. But back in October, when I started my very first posing routine or posing practice, it hurt my back so much. Like the posing was so intense, like the holding your chest up and all the things I was doing. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to hurt myself. I don't know what, but it was just because I was so tight and I wasn't used to it. But after a week, I got my back just adjusted really quickly and I was able to get the moves down. The more I practiced, the better I got. And so that was great that my body was able to adapt and I was able to, strengthen those areas that I needed to strengthen. And, trying to think what else. Oh, my abs. I still had ab restrictions from my hernia surgery back in December, which my surgeon told me I couldn't do planks or any ab or core work for a year, which was surprising. So I was still under those restrictions, and I still had some pain in therapy with my abs in the very beginning, but but they were starting to dissipate. The pain was starting to dissipate, and I was getting stronger in my core. So once those were lifted in December, I was able to do crunches and I was able to do start working my abs again. So I really only had 2 months to work my abs before the show. I was hoping I would have more ab definition.
You're
But
pretty
maybe if
good.
I,
You had a six pack showing through,
yeah.
though, in your front abdominal, I
Yeah.
thought. So
So
for two
maybe
months,
by
that's pretty good.
nationals, I'll have another 3 months under my belt working on my core. But I think things came pretty quickly because I had worked out before and worked out hard, and things started to come together. My muscles were getting stronger. My core especially came really quick. So when I went back to swimming, because we didn't do any cardio for the first 2 months, and then I went back to swimming, I
Brain
was able
build,
to look
yeah.
actually lay on my stomach because I couldn't do that before. And I actually was able to lay on my stomach, start swimming front ways. So that was awesome.
Very cool. Lee, did you have any questions that came up during that?
Yeah, I have so many questions. So
Okay.
the one that's kind of burning in my head is talking about prep, and you are such a great example because you've done preps as a bikini competitor and as a like wheelchair bodybuilder. So you kind of understand both sides of things, and prep is hard either way. But do you think that there were certain difficulties in prep when you were, on your feet versus different difficulties in prep bodybuilding? Or do you think they were kind of the same? It's just really hard to be regimented and disciplined and track everything and or was it a vast difference? How did your preps feel before and then in the wheelchair?
I would say on food prep, wheelchair was harder just because everything takes me a lot longer. Everything's longer. Like if I do laundry, dishes, whatever, it just takes a lot longer. Getting dressed, everything takes a lot longer in a wheelchair. And so I had to be really, really simple with my food. And rice cakes and beef jerky were something that I used a lot for when I was going to be traveling from between PT and the gym, and I needed food and it was quick. Like sometimes I would have stuff that was already packed, but like meal prepping for an entire week and having all the meals, I just couldn't do that. So I just would prep all my proteins. I'd have several different proteins in the refrigerator, several different carbs, rice or wild rice or potatoes ready to go. And so I would just grab and measure and eat kind of meal by meal. And if I had time or I knew I was going to be out and I didn't have any beef jerky and rice cakes, and I would try to plan ahead a little bit better. But I think it was just that it was harder because I'm like, oh, I've got to go pull that out of the refrigerator, the freezer, which means I have to wheel myself to the freezer, open it, put it on my lap, and it's freezing. I have to push my chair into the kitchen. Put, and then put the chicken. It was just like things you take for granted, like running into the freezer, pulling things out and putting it in the microwave or whatever. It was just like, it's just extra. It's extra effort and it's extra time. So that was just like something I just had to do. I was like, okay, well, I've got to do it. It's going to take extra time and I've got to do it. So it was harder, definitely prep for wheelchair and also just like getting to the gym takes longer. I've got to go out the door. I have to lock the door. In my wheelchair, and then I gotta get into my car. It's just like the whole process of unloading my wheelchair, loading my wheelchair, putting it together, taking it apart, and just getting in. And well, and other things that just take a little extra time that I feel like, if you, it's just harder, but you can do it. It's totally doable. So.
That. So what about mentally? So because I love how you talked about once you found out that there was wheelchair bodybuilding and you could do prep again, it kind of just gave you motivation like crazy and you were so happy. So mentally, was it easier to go through this prep just because you were so thankful to have a goal and to be able to get on stage before than when you were prepping for bikini, or were there different mental blocks you had to kind of get through for this prep?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I feel like I was on such a high. I was so excited that I just didn't feel like there's any mental block. It's like, this is what I'm doing. I'm so excited. I think as far as like injuries, like I had a few injuries in my first prep, like my hamstring pull or something, and you work through it. I kind of had the same thing here. Like my shoulders would act up a little bit and I'd have to get, work through it. And so I think as far as injuries, it's about the same, just trying not to overwork a muscle. And if it starts to hurt too bad that you kind of pull back and try to baby it and heat and ice and not work it as hard. That was probably about the same. But I think just mentally, I think I was just so excited to do this again that I was just on fire. It didn't matter. I was just going to do this.
Okay, one more question. How does it work getting the tan?
Okay, well, what I heard, because I did my own tan for Arnold,
Okay.
but what I heard from Galen Grigsby, because I asked him, like, what do they do? Is they basically put like this tarp over you to your waist. So think of like when you go get your hair done and they put a cape over you. So it's like a cape that they go around your waist and they kind of tuck some towels in there and they just spray your upper body. That's it.
Wow, but you did your own.
I did my own tan.
Right.
I had done it a couple of times in 2022, so I knew what I was doing, and my husband was there, so I'm like, okay, tan me up. So
Yep.
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. So talk about you had weight restrictions, like for how much you were able to lift, and then We had the right arm that was about an inch bigger, just like all around versus the left, and how you brought that symmetry and things throughout this prep, because they almost evened out. They were pretty close by the end of it. So what were some of those things that, when did the weight restriction of 40 pounds, when did
Oh
that
yeah.
get? Yeah.
So when I first started in October, my spine surgeon said that I had a 40-pound weight limit, and I think, pretty much that's like overhead, like 40 pounds, which I don't normally do 40 pounds for shoulder press or anything like that. But there were certain things on cables that I'm already hitting 70 pounds, and I thought, I think it's okay if I'm doing 70 pounds with this exercise, because it wasn't specific, it was just 40 pounds. So I tried to be cautious very, very beginning, especially like the first 4 weeks. And then as I felt comfortable and I was lifting heavier, I asked my physical therapist, "Do you think it's okay that I'm doing heavier?" And he's like, "If you feel good, it's probably okay." And so I just kept going. I would go in for X-rays just to make sure that my spine was healing into the rods that had been placed into my spine. And so we would check and make sure everything was going good, and as long as I wasn't having any pain. And so by December, I had all restrictions lifted. I could lift as much as I wanted. I could do my abs. So in December, I was able to push myself quite hard. And for my left arm, because my left arm has been, because I have a rotator tear from the past. And so my left arm's just smaller and weaker. And so we worked at using my left arm as the guide. I always started with my left arm, and whatever I could hit with the left arm, like 12 reps or 8 reps or whatever, then I would just do the same on my right, and I wouldn't push my right harder. And so we tried to really beef up that left arm as much as we could, and that left side, especially with my lat spread. I don't know what it is, but I just can't get it as far as my right. So we're still working
It's
on
coming
that.
around though. It's definitely evening out. It caught up quite a bit from the beginning, I think. And definitely when you had kind of injured your right side and you had to give it a little bit of a rest, that probably helped too. Kind of catch things up. Yeah. Okay. So as far as did you have other questions, Lee? Okay. I was looking at your face and I'm like, she has a burning question.
Yes, I want to talk about your workouts in the gym.
Okay.
Do you have a trainer? Do you have a workout partner? Are there any like machines that you can't use, or creative ways that you've, worked with cables or things to do your workouts? That would be like interesting to maybe our audience that has limitations or things like that.
I don't always have a workout partner, no. And I think the hardest thing is getting your dumbbells off the dumbbell rack onto your chair, the bench. And that's the hardest part. I would have to pick up one, hold, just as hard as I could, lift it and put it in my lap, and then I would wheel myself to my bench and lift it and put it on the bench. Then I go back to get the second one because they're heavy. And I was doing, I think, 25s on my shoulder lat raises. And so it just takes time to get it, and then I would, get myself out of the chair onto the bench, and then I would do my lifts. And then if it wasn't the right, if it was too heavy or too light, or if I wanted another weight, sometimes I'd look around at people and I'd be like, "Could you help me?" And so I knew there were certain people there that knew me before, and they're like, "Hey, if you need anything, just let me know." And so sometimes if I saw them at the weight rack, I would go over there and do my workouts because they were right there. And then I would just kind of ask, "Hey, I need 15s now. Hey, I need 12s now," or whatever it was. And they would just kind of go back and forth for me. But if there's no one there, it's kind of a struggle. It just takes, more time lifting them up and putting them on the chair and from your chair, wheelchair. So it's definitely difficult. There are plates. Like I would watch and see, like if someone was on my back machine, the back machine that had plates on it, I would go up to them and say, "Hey, is it okay if I use this after you and you leave 45s on each side?" And they would say, "Sure, no problem." So then I'm not asking someone to put weights on. I'm just saying, "Leave on such and such." And so like 25 plates, 25 pounds, I could lift up by myself and put on, but anything heavier than that, it was just really hard. And so there's a couple trainers there that are training other people, and they keep an eye on me. And so if I'm close to them, I'll say, "Hey, can you load that for me?" And they're always so happy to do it. But I definitely could not work out by myself without someone helping me some way, you know. And it depends on the machine, but some things I can do, you know, easy by myself. And then some of the pull down machines, like I can't reach, or like I can reach to pull it down, but I can't change out the whatever you call
The
it, the attachment. Yeah. So I would have to have somebody help me with that. But I found that a lot of people are super helpful. And I've been able to get all my workout done just by asking for help.
attachment. I love that. Okay, I have one more question.
Yeah,
So, I think it's so cool that you started as a bikini competitor and now you're in wheelchair bodybuilding. But what would you tell to somebody that maybe has always been in a wheelchair, or they weren't an athlete and didn't compete beforehand, but maybe, and so they maybe don't even think it would be an option for them because they don't already, they're like, oh, she was already winning shows. So of course she can just transition and keep that up. But like, what would you say to encourage somebody that maybe just is starting from scratch?
I would say that the sky is the limit and you can always start from the very beginning, just like anyone else who's not in a wheelchair that has never lifted weights. They have the same thing. It's like, where do I start? I'm weak. You just start by, you know, you can start at home. You can start your first few weeks at home with some dumbbells and just start some bicep curls and some shoulder presses. And then going to the gym is like your next step because you have more variety and you have more options in order to build the kind of muscle you want to build. Follow people that are, there's a lot of people out there on Instagram that are in a wheelchair that are working out. Find them, follow them, because they're very inspiring and they're doing all kinds of amazing things. And you just start with day one and you just do the best you can. And each day you build on that and build on that and ask, you know, ask how to, you know, what can you do to improve your physique? Like maybe look for new programs or other options for, I'm trying, what am I trying to say? Just in different programs that'll help you know, gain to the next level, to the next level. So that'd be my advice.
So I had heard you say that you got like a little bit of negativity in the beginning, like when people heard that you were going back to the gym and they were kind of giving you some negativity. What did you say to those people, and like how do you kind of like prove, I mean, obviously you prove them wrong by like what you're doing, obviously, but what did you kind of say to that?
So, really, the only negativity was that I'd hurt myself in the gym. And so they were like, "You're not going back to the gym, are you? Like, why would you do that? You've already hurt yourself once." And I've heard people say, "Well, that's why I don't work out, because I don't want to get hurt," you know, things like that, where I feel like, you know, I might have gotten hurt at the gym, you know, just certain things in my life that kind of compiled up into one storm that happened. But the gym is actually very healing. And the gym, it's there for so many people who go through emotional problems, social problems, whatever they might be going through in their life. When you go to the gym and you work out, it's you feel so much better about yourself that it the gym is a healer. And so even though I got hurt at the gym, I can also get healed at the gym. And I just, you know, when people said that, like, "You're not going back, are you?" I just thought, "Are you kidding? Of course I'm going back. This is
You're
just
like,
one
this
thing
is
that
my
happened."
therapy.
You just, yeah, it's like you get back on the horse. I got bucked off. So, and it's
Yeah.
all good.
Yeah. So during this prep, you mentioned that you had started driving. Were there other things that had you progressed also during the prep on like what functions you could do like in your everyday life and things like that, like walking with a walker or like, kind of, where was that at the beginning of this prep?
Let me think. Yeah, I mean, I definitely have made progress in therapy, especially my balance. I would say balance is the biggest thing because OT, PT, they try to get me to balance. I try, like, standing balance, keep, you know, reaching and doing all these things, and I could not get my balance. I'm like, I don't know how I'm ever going to get balance if I can't use my ankles. My ankles aren't working. And so then after I started training, I would stand at the gym between sets. So I would do a set. And then I would stand up and try to work on my balance. And I remember one day I discovered that if I bent my knees just a little bit that I could hold my balance. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. And so then I think it's just with the weight training, my core came a lot stronger. I was able to build my core, so I was able to get my balance better. And so that was huge. And so then after that, I was doing like I could stand for 2 minutes. Like I did a test, and then a month later, I could stand for 5 minutes.
Oh,
And
wow.
then I mean, that's standing. I'm like, I can't take a step without falling, you know? I'm like, this is just standing balance. But it helps, you know, with my everyday activities, standing and doing the dishes
Yeah.
or trying to stand up and reach things out of the cupboard and things like that. So, it helped with, you know, my progression, you know, doing, you know, a few steps here and there without, you know, you know, it helps with that. But,
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to
So
say.
it sounds like you were able to actually progress like a lot faster in therapy just by making your body stronger, but probably also just that mental shift too, and that mindset of just you were determined to do this. And I feel like maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what I'm hearing is that it kind of helped you move forward a little bit faster in PT possibly.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so.
And open those possibilities like that you could do those things. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping that my glutes and my abductors will get stronger. That's just the one part that's really weak. I just don't think they've woken up yet. You know, there's just like, come on, please, you know, whatever I do. But as far as my core, it's definitely coming a lot, you know. So and my quads, because I've had, you know, that and that's been able to get a lot stronger, even especially with like the biking and the swimming that we've been doing. So I think that's helped a lot with just standing balance as well.
Yeah, I think people take for granted, you know, it's like you're working your upper body to get stronger for a hypertrophy goal, but you use your upper body for every single daily function that you have, you know, to get around and to just do your everyday activities. So, yeah, I mean, it's like above and beyond, like just, I'm so inspired by you and just, I just love you. I just can't say enough. I mean, I
Oh.
don't know. Do you have anything to add, Lee Marie, or
Yeah.
questions? Yeah, of course you
So I totally agree with everything. Like, you're so inspiring. I think this is my favorite interview we've ever done. I'm just sitting here like I just adore you, and your energy is just contagious. Like, you are
Oh.
so happy, and everything about you is just bright, and you just shine this joy for life. And I'm just wondering, have you, because I met you at the Glam Girl Retreat before
Yeah.
all of this. You were still like, I think you were not in prep at that time because of some sort of an injury, but that your goal was to do another competition, and you were there with us all, and you did have that amazing, like, positive energy, but I think it's like just quadrupled, and now it just like radiates from you. Would you say that going through tough things like this and having that attitude has helped you develop that, or have you always just had that, you know, that positive energy about you?
Well, I think my friends that know me from college and younger years, they would tell you that I was always a go-getter and I always had the positive energy. So, and I have a good friend of mine. He's a quad. He doesn't have use of his arms or legs, and he says he's the same way. And someone made the comment that he's still the same person he was before. And so I think that's just what is. I feel like I am the same person, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, this is something that when you overcome something, or you know, overcome a challenge, or that you're able to get through a challenge, that it definitely makes you a little bit happier and more fulfilled.
Do you have anything that you practice daily to kind of keep that up, keep your mindset in a positive place?
I don't know. I mean, I don't do it consistently or anything. I've done meditations, I've done tapping, I pray every day. I have a belief in God, and I feel like He is right there with me, and I feel like this is part of my purpose, is to be a beacon light to other people. And so I mean, I feel like, well, maybe this is just part of what my plan is, and And that's okay, because he's just totally gonna get me through everything here. And so I don't know, I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be, so.
So
Well,
good.
it's
Yeah.
very evident with all the people that came up to you and just like some of the stories that they shared and how you're showing other people that they can do these things too, in a wheelchair and other women. I feel like you are definitely like, not to get spiritual, but I just feel like he is working through you and he's, reaching other people through you and what you're doing. So I appreciate you for doing that Well, thank you.
and being such a great role model. You're like the poster child of of this. I mean, seriously. So yes, we want everybody to be able to share with you like what they got from this and to show their love and appreciation for you. So can you tell everybody how they could reach out to you on Instagram or how you would want to be contacted or if there are other women wheelchair people out there that are interested in going to nationals as well?
Yeah, that would be great if we have more people. My Instagram is Sharla underscore Peterson. I don't know if I said that right. Sharla underscore Peterson. And I think that's, probably the best way to try to reach me is through Instagram.
Yeah, definitely. Well, make sure you tag Charlotte on your story and let her know what you thought of this episode. I know that this has been just a wonderful episode that I really, really appreciate your time. And I know that you're going to help a lot of people through them being able to listen to this. So if you would like to tag us as well on your story, you can find us at Prep Life Podcast or at Glam Girl Bikini. And are there any closing thoughts or questions, Lee Marie, before we hop off? Charlotte, was there anything that you wanted to share with the listeners before, maybe a question that I didn't ask you or something that you would like to share?
I don't know. It's been a great journey, especially with having you as my coach, Amy, and just the experience we had together at the Arnold, because you've been there before and you knew so many people. It was just really a great experience for me to have you there. And it's just been great. And so I don't know what else to say, but I'm just gonna keep going, doing the best I can in the wheelchair division, and hopefully we'll have more women come out. That would be awesome.
Yes,
So
yes.
we can build this division, because I think when you have the NPC and the IFBB backing this, it's amazing. It's like it's a
Yes.
whole division through that and that organization, and that's huge. And we're on the biggest stages. We're on Olympia. We're on the Arnold. We're it's like the biggest stages that you can be on. So it's really cool.
Well, thank you so much for your time, and thank you everyone for listening.
Thank you.